Did you watch that Bruins game last night? What a season. I've been telling you all for months. I've been telling you for months. The Bruins are so much fun. An amazing season is unfolding. And you people that are like, well, I don't usually watch hockey. I like basketball or this and that. Yet you are just flat out missing out. Multiple people have been on these airwaves questioning the ability of the Bruins this year. Multiple people have been on this radio show questioning really the toughness of this Bruins team, and I took exception to it every single time. I've been telling all of you listeners how talented the team is, how different they are from last year, how the additions that we've been making along the way during the season, Brazeau, who got hurt last night, I think. I don't know. Well, I know he did. I don't know how bad, though, but I hope it's not bad. I should have researched that. Got sidetracked for a second. Welcome to the Sports Machine with Slim. It's Wednesday. And what an awesome season these Bruins are having. When I look at them, I just look at talent, toughness, teamwork. Three T's I wrote down here in my notebook. Talent, toughness, and teamwork. They have it all. They have it all. And when the maroon guy comes back, we're going to have like a dude who's going to beat up everybody if they get in our way. Right now, we're not fighting too much. I saw at the beginning of the game last night, I heard Jack Edwards say Nashville has the second most fights in the NHL this season. Nashville, who we played last night, we beat them 3-0. And I got a story for you if you didn't watch the game. I'll run it through for you and make you feel as if you had. To start out with, McAvoy and Lindholm, they're playing on the same line now, people. I didn't even notice it the game ago. But they said going into last night, this was the second game in a row. You put McAvoy and Lindholm on the same line, I'm telling you, you have like the best defensive team in the NHL. That right there, for 25 to 28 minutes a game, you are going to have the best defensive pairing in the NFL out on the ice. That's why we're going to have a great run, people. The talent is there. You look at the toughness. We are willing to fight. If you watched the game last night, the Bruins never backed down. We checked. We competed. We were in scrums. Whatever, you know, you'd be tangled up after the whistle in front of the net and stuff like that. Keep away from my goalie. These types of tie-ups. We were involved with them. We never backed down, ever. Marchand will fight anyone. So you can't question this team's toughness. We have the talent. You look at Pasternak. Coyle, Zaka, who last night played just amazing again. And then the teamwork. And the most important part of the team really is Swayman. And Linus Ullmark right now is playing out of his mind. Last night was ridiculous. He let in no goals. I think we faced 32 shots. And so people know from that have been following along forever since the beginning of the show, started months ago, the Bruins back then were getting outshot a ton. Like every game, even if we won, we were getting outshot a ton. I remember my cousin Bob from Quincy, who used to call in a bunch, had been documenting statistics on like the teams that were giving up the most shots in the league and how all the other teams were terrible, except for the Bruins, and we had one of the best records in hockey. The goaltending was coming through for us. And right now, Linus Ullmark might be the best goalie in the NHL. I'm telling you, he made at least five saves last night that I was like, whoa, look at that. And one or two, he made just ridiculous. In fact, he was so good that in the third period, there was a point where Nashville had pretty much an open net. And the guy hit the post because he was trying to go so fast because he knew he had to be perfect because Ullmark had been all night long in the right spot. So even though you'd say, oh, Nashville missed an open net, I'm telling you, goaltending makes that happen sometimes. And when you're lucky, like it matters when you're good. You add it all together and the guy misses. And the Bruins go on to win 3-0. So Nashville did not score a goal at all. Who was the better team on the ice? I would say the Bruins had more chances, real scoring chances. So 5 minutes in to the game, I wrote in my notebook, I love what I'm seeing. Great skating. Marchand, watch him start and stop on a dime and then start back up, changing directions. The guy's, I use the word wizard a lot because we have a lot of wizardry on this Bruins team. But watch Brad Marchand skate sometimes. Ullmark, great save. Both teams have had their chances. This is first period commentary. Bruins going on a power play with 2 minutes left. That's where Brazeau got hurt. I hope he's okay. I should look at in between breaks here, commercials. I will tell you, Thomas Polk is calling the show at 10:20. He's excited to come on segment two. And we may go like just hardcore full Bruins action today, because I think Bruins Sully is going to be coming in as well. Hopefully, if he can, in the third or fourth segment. So let's talk some Bruins. Second period, it's 0-0. They go through the whole thing. It's 0-0 entering the third last night, everybody. The Bruins end up winning 3-0. Three goals in the third period. It starts out with, guess what? 8 minutes left, still tied at zero. Lauri Lohrai, who is the weak link of the team, if you watch, unfortunately. He's a young kid, got a lot of talent. Me and Thomas texted about him last night. I'm rooting for the dude. I can see he's got some talent. He's just not there skating-wise, and he's not tough enough, and he turns the puck over. So he's the guy that you hopefully he's not going to be playing in the playoffs. Hopefully you got your lines with Grizzlick and Carlo, I would imagine, would be the second line. And then third, you got, I know them, not Shattenberg, my tough guy. That's all right. I'll come back to that. Bruins fans on the road last night, all over the place. Bruins fans throughout the stands in Nashville, they were the loudest. They had enthusiasm. They made me think of how our arena needs to be come playoff time. Oh, it's going to be so much fun if these crowds, these fans can get into the games. Great play by Pastrnak last night to score, really to lead, sorry, a second goal, I think, of the night, where he turns the puck over, gets the puck turned over, steals it from Nashville in their end, or in our end, I guess, leads a pass up. I'm pretty sure it was to Heinen, who passes it over to Zacha in front of the net. What just a sick 1-2-3 type of play. Like, ultra-talented. And then at the end, an empty netter goes in. Pastrnak puts it in after fighting with a dude to kind of, you know, get his space, chucks it from half court or so. Mid-ice. It goes in. What a game. Shorthanded goal, though, by Charlie Coyle is how we got on the board. With 8 minutes left in the third, Lowry gets called for a penalty. He goes in there. We scored our first goal shorthanded by Charlie Coyle, who's been awesome all year long. You don't think that's a fun game? Nashville had lost two games in a row on the road, like 7-4, 7-5, something like that. They were coming home with their record in the last like 20 regular season games at home for Nashville, like in regulation time, they'd won like 16 or 17 of them, I think. In the last 10, I think they had won all but one regulation games at home. So they've been playing incredible at home. The Bruins go in there, hold them scoreless. I mean, even the last two games that Nashville played, they lost, like I told you, 8-5 and 7-4, something like this. Both were high scoring. And yeah, they got blown out on the road, but they at least scored 4 or 5 goals in both games. And the Bruins come in and just shut them out. What more does this Bruins team need to do to have everybody like just legit excited buying Bruins gear? Talking confidently. I talked to somebody yesterday. Oh, well, you know, you remember last year? First thing they said. Very first thing they said when I said this Bruins team is awesome. It's just, it's so sad, the fans. so really sad. I hope as you're listening, you're saying that you're not a sad fan. You're an excited fan who cannot wait to watch what the Bruins are going to do in this playoffs run, which is just around the corner. It's starting up like 2.5 weeks. The regular season, I think they got 6 more games over the next 2 weeks, the Bruins do. Our next 2 games are huge. At Florida, at Carolina. So I can't believe I'm doing a sports talk radio show where I've been on the air for roughly 10 minutes and I'm talking Bruins this whole time. Not Celtics, not the Red Sox, who apparently are off to a great start. And I'm going to tell you in segment 4 today, I'm doing Red Sox. I heard an interview with Greg Hill on EEI and Craig Breslow, who's representing the Red Sox now. Is he the general manager? What is that? I don't even know what he is, honestly. But he does a pretty decent interview. Greg Hill, great, great interviewer. And I know some of you probably were listening to WEEI, and at 10 o'clock said, hey, I'm going over to switch over to listen to the Sports Machine with Slim, as you should. Let's talk to Thomas Polk when we come back from this break. The Sports Machine with Slam WKXL Radio is on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. This is nhtalkradio.com. Three. I tend to exaggerate when things are going good and when I'm right. The Boston Bruins are in the midst of just an awesome season. Thomas Poke, welcome to the show on a Wednesday morning.
Thanks for having me.
Is it really going to snow tomorrow big time or what? You know anything about this?
I hope not. I'm kind of done with it by now, but hey, I'm sure the ski resorts love it.
It was an easy winter. It was one of the easiest ones of my life, so we can't complain as long as this is the end of it, right? I think I'm totally fine. Let's just get it out of the way tomorrow into, you know, Friday, whatever you want to do. Slam it, and then see you later.
Yeah, I hear you. It is what it is. It's not like we can change it.
No, and then realistically, we maybe can't change the fate of the Bruins and, you know, how they're going to perform this year. But you know something? Maybe we can. I believe positivity can help, Thomas. I have been positive on this team all the way the last 4 months, enjoying it, trying to tell other people, and I've been right, haven't I?
Oh, 100%. I mean, what's there to really complain for everybody? I mean, they're at the top of the league, definitely the Eastern Conference, but what, since the start of the year? I know there's been issues, and I know they haven't won all the games, but they've been pretty good.
They've won the big games. And even last night, you're going into this game at Nashville. You know Nashville's kind of tough. Did you know they were second most fights in the league going into last night's game?
I did not know that.
Yeah, that Jack Edwards, he dropped some knowledge on me. I decided to drop it on everybody else here this morning. I do. He comes up with good stats at the beginning of the games. Do you like Jack Edwards? I know some people online are like, he needs to stop. I think the guy's awesome. I love him.
He's been doing a great job for them for years. But, you know, obviously people outside of Boston probably not too happy with him. But, you know, it is what it is. He wears the gold and black.
Yes, he does. And last night he was laughing like crazy when there was a penalty called on us. And then 5 or 10 minutes later, there was no penalty called on Nashville when they tripped. I think it was McAvoy. And then he just started laughing. His reactions are so real. That's why I get a kick out of him. Whatever, if other people don't. What a game last night. I mean, Linus Ullmark is playing incredible right now, Thomas.
No, the whole group. I mean, obviously, shutouts are awesome, but you know, he kept them in there. There's chances at the beginning that they had. He made the saves he had to, stole a couple. But overall, you know, you have a goalie like that in net, and even with Swayman, too. I mean, our goalie tandem is probably the best in the league. And if they keep playing like they do, that gives them a chance to win.
What I love is they are the best tandem in the league for regular season. And so that's the fun in the team, is understanding and believing that when they get onto this stage this year where they know they have the talent to do it, it's going to largely be up to them. I mean, the team in front of them, like you said, we're firing right now, man. The goalies are going to have, it's going to be on them mentally. Can we win as a team, me and you, and just win every single series and go win a Stanley Cup between the two of us?
It'll be interesting what they do with them. I mean, you have two goalies that both deserve to be starters in the playoffs. Will they go back to the, hey, we're going to go with one guy, what everybody else does? Or do they keep doing what they have been doing throughout the regular season?
I'm going to ask you this question, Thomas, and it's a really cool answer because I think both answers are right. I'll answer the question first. If tonight was game one, or let's say tomorrow, so we had a day off, right? Yeah, let's say tomorrow, if tomorrow's game one of the playoffs, who do you start in net? I'm starting Linus Ullmark. Who would you start?
I would let Swayman start, and just because he didn't get to go last year in the playoffs. They threw him in there in the last game didn't really give him a chance. So I would go with him.
And what I would piggyback this answer with is the other guy's going game two, and we're alternating all the way, game one through six. Both goalies will play three games, and it'll be every other, and game seven goes to whoever played better, and who I, as the coach, feel is going to be the right guy if we happen to go seven. What do you think about that strategy?
I would go with that one, too. It's a little different, and I think that's the way to do it. I mean, why not, right?
In
previous years, you saw it with Vegas last year. They had multiple goalies play and do their thing. Why leave it all up to one guy? They've been playing so well together all year. They get along. It's the whole team involved. Why not do it in the playoffs? And I think if they go that route, it's not going to hit Game 7. They're going to end it earlier.
Bam! Now we're talking, Thomas. That's what type of confidence I'm looking for out of you. Sometimes you come across very reserved and respectful on the show, which I love, because you bring the knowledge and you bring positivity. But I don't hear you trash talking all that much. I think I kind of got you to do that a little bit right there.
I don't know about the trash talk there, but I just think they're too good a team to make it go that long. I think they have a lot to prove what happened last year. So I think if they do go out there, and like you said, they're alternating back and forth, I don't think they're going to go to seven.
You just see the two guys embrace. They have all year at the end, this goalie hug that they do. You can tell they're happy for each other. And like last night, if you're Swayman, Thomas, and you're watching what Omar did, you are like, dude, this guy is playing incredible. So when you give him the hug at the end of the game, it's just like, man, you're on top of the world right now. But guess what? You know, tomorrow night, next night, it's my turn. I'm going to go do the same thing.
I think it actually pushes them, right? Help each other. It's the whole team atmosphere. Why does the backup goalie need to sit there and then just watch the most exciting 2 months of the year? So I could get onto that idea, and we'll see if the Bruins staff, you know, the coaches, GMs, I'm sure they're talking about it. I'm sure they have a plan. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
It's definitely
not the norm.
No, it's not. And I'm pretty sure Montgomery has said that he should have done this last year. I'm pretty sure he admits that, because they went through the whole regular season with the great record, alternating all the time, and then they got to the playoffs, and it was Omar, and it was like his goal to lose, essentially. That's not a good mindset to put Jeremy Swayman in into the playoffs, right? You want everybody mentally to be on the same page, pulling for one another, instead of kind of like saying, I wish I had my shot, which is just a normal reaction. I would have it too. But especially then Omar got hurt, he's still playing. We don't need any of that crap. Let's keep positive vibes all the way through, baby.
I mean, it's great for him as a coach to actually come out and say that. But if in reality, obviously, it's always easier to do that the next day when the season's over. But, you know, it's hard for a goalie. I don't care who you are. You're sitting there watching it, and then the last game you get thrown in. That didn't give him much of a chance. If they would have done it a couple games earlier, it might have been a different outcome, but, you know, it is what it is. That's it.
Exactly.
Easy the next day. So I'm sure they learned from their mistakes, and why wouldn't they? I mean, why wouldn't they give Swayman a chance this year to also play in games where it's not do or die? And considering he's probably going to be the goalie of the future, look ahead a couple of years, right?
Well, we all wanted to trade Omar. I mean, everybody else did. We didn't. You and me didn't. We were cool all the way through. This is what I'm saying. Like, we have been spot on with this team. Like, so good. We do not trade Omar. That was like, there was a trade in place to send him to the Kings. He was the one that said, no, I want to be in Boston. The whole vibe around here is awesome.
No, and I think he looks at it too. He's getting older too, and he wants to win a cup. And I think he sees the chance here with the Bees to do so.
And Swayman does too, man. The whole team is redemption. And I know, hey, we don't have the guys who retired here. Bergeron ain't here. Krejci. But those guys come playoff time, I really believe the last few years, they were tired. I think we got younger kids that, like, aren't tired. I'm not seeing this team letting down at the end of the season. I see us getting better every game.
Well, I think at the end of the day, if you look at Bergeron and Krejci, they've been around for a long time, right? A lot of games on their backs, and then once they got hurt a little, it becomes a little more evident. And I think it's just normal, I think, at their age. If they were healthy and everything was good, it's different. But being at their age, being hurt, it's just tough. It's just not, you know, it's just a good league.
You said it, man. I watch the skill out there on exhibit every night. I'm just like, wow, these guys are so talented. I really just haven't appreciated as much because I've always been a basketball guy. But you hockey guys are pretty cool, Thomas.
No, they're doing well. It's all good. They have a good group, and it'll be fun to watch them.
Let's keep these answers real quick. Did you watch the Iowa LSU college basketball women's game the other night?
I did not.
You don't
I'm
care?
Not much of a no.
Have you watched Caitlin Clark play at all?
No.
You need to watch her on Saturday night, Tom, or Friday night. I don't know what plans you have, but you have to change them so you can watch Caitlin Clark play Friday night.
Okay, she's that good, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You watch her, yeah. I mean, well, my show yesterday, I was talking a lot about how if I was guarding her right now, I think I would be able to do a better job than the players defending her. I feel like she would not score as many points against me. It's an ongoing battle I have with myself right now because I'm getting old and breaking down physically, Thomas, but she's that good. She drains threes. It's amazing. She had, I think, 9 the other night.
Well, yeah. Hey, I mean, the hype is probably real, right? She's in the news every day on it, so I'm sure she must be good.
Yeah. How come you don't want to? You don't watch any basketball? Is that just like you refuse because they're all such wimps?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just think it's a time thing, right? I got 3 kids of my own, and they own sports, and with the little hockey at night, and it's just not enough time to do anything else.
Well, I appreciate that you make the time to call the show as often as you do, Thomas. You're an awesome guest.
No, it's awesome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Rock and roll out there, everybody. We got more Bruins talk. I'm going to wrap some other stuff in when we come back from this break here on the Sports Machine with Slim. WKXL Radio is 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. This is New Hampshire Talk Radio. Toughness and teamwork. So much fun to see them winning 3-0. And now tomorrow night, our next two games are bigger. I mean, that's the biggest part of this, is you go and you're playing a real tough team in Nashville, knowing that, I mean, it's the end of the season here, and we're going to have some tough games coming right up. Tomorrow night, that's Thursday, we're playing at Carolina. They're battling with us for the top record in the overall side of things here in the East. That's Thursday. And then Saturday, it's at home against Florida, which we know is going to be a battle. And they're battling right at the top for best record in the East. We're playing 2 out of the 3. The New York Rangers are in front of everybody. But now you're talking about, hey, we might be playing for a home ice advantage against you when you're playing Carolina, when you're playing Florida. So you got to win those games. But first, you got to go at Nashville. Here, as you're kind of winding down, you had a 6-game road trip here to end the season. Well, not really, but last night was our 5th game in the road, on the road in a row. And then the last one, we wrap it up with Carolina. That's a big road trip. At Florida, we win 4-3. At Nashville, we win 3-0. At Tampa Bay, we lost 3-1, but that game was real close. So now we go at Carolina tomorrow night. You know the Bruins are going to be looking. They're hot, dude. The Bruins, this team, I'll be playing this Bruins team. No doubt about that. You know who I might also be playing and definitely looking at closely right now is in the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers. And I know if my brother Dave was listening, he would be rolling his eyeballs, thinking they got no chance here. They're going to be a 7 or an 8 seed. I'm going to tell you, last night I was watching a little bit of basketball after the Bruins game, or maybe it was during the Bruins game, and you got the 76ers were down by 7 or 8 points with like 7 minutes left, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wasn't even playing for Oklahoma City. I'm like, what? Embiid's first game back from injury last night. 76ers come back. They win 109-105, and I'm just telling you, 76ers are good, dude. 76ers are a good team when they put all their pieces together. Joel Embiid, you got Tobias Harris. Kelly Oubre can score. He's a competitor, and he's got an attitude. I think he's a real player. You got Tyrese Maxey, who's like a perfect match for Embiid. Embiid can take whole possessions off and just watch Maxey go do his thing, whether he's shooting a pull-up three or, you know, taking somebody to the hole. Maxey's almost unstoppable. Nicholas Batum is a solid bench guy. You have Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield can drain threes. I mean, I'm not saying he's a huge winner or anything like that, but he can drain threes. Tobias Harris, they have Cam Payne, who in the playoffs in the past, I've seen him just go like ballistic nuts when he was with the Suns. He would just go off sometimes. I'm not saying he's the greatest defensive player at all, but he battles and he can get hot. Kyle Lowry, already won a title. Tough guy. I think the roster's real good. It's a shame when you look at the NBA. It really is crazy with the Boston Celtics. If you were looking for the easiest road, which I'm definitely not. Like, I say bring on all comers. Like, first round, you're probably going to have to play Miami or Philly or Indiana, who's beaten us, was it three times this year? How many times Indiana beat us? At least two. So Indiana, Miami, or Philly is going to be our first round matchup. My suspicion is, well, I mean, my suspicion is Philly's going to get to seven. And the Celts will end up having to play Miami or Indiana in the first round. Team we lost to, I think, three times, or Miami, who's been our nemesis and knocked us out last year. And you know, Jimmy Butler is just a different dude when it comes to playoff time. Good. Give me Miami. I'd rather not play Philly. I mean, I'll play you Philly first if you want to. But I'd rather not. Nick Nurse, he scares me. You sit down and have him playing chess against Joe Mazzulla. I don't have confidence in the C's coach. I do at Nick Nurse. He might complain a little more than I like. But the Boston Celtics, hey, I don't think you're going to win. I hope you're going to win. I am rooting for the Boston Celtics hardcore. I'll be rooting for them tonight. You know why? They'll be playing against Oklahoma City. Boston Celtics play OKC tonight. Hopefully, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing tonight, and that's why he didn't play last night. Maybe they didn't want him to have back-to-backs, so they'll play him tonight, hopefully. I don't know how hurt he may or may not be, but I'm sure the Celtics are going to win. I mean, we just win all these games, and we only have seven more in the regular season. We got a little homestand here. We got Oklahoma City tonight, Friday at Sacramento, and then Sunday. Sacramento's here on Friday, and then Portland comes in. So OKC, Sacramento, Portland. Then next week we go at Milwaukee. And we'll stop right there. You know, then we play at home against the Knicks, which they play hard, but I don't think they have Julius Randle. I don't think he's coming back for the playoffs. And the big guy Mitchell, I'm not sure if he's playing either. So the Knicks, they're outmanned. I mean, I know I see Jalen Brunson, he's scoring this points and they're having, you know, big nights, but come playoff time, we saw it last year. He's too small, dude. You know, I root for him. You're a champion. But, you know, these other dudes who have the ball as much on the other end of stuff, like they're just bigger and faster. And if they guard you, it's tougher for you to score over them and make good passes and stuff. So, and you just don't have the talent either. So the Knicks, not scared of the Knicks at all. Milwaukee Bucks, the number two seed in the East. Are we going to be scared of them? Like, really? No. They lost last night, dude. The Milwaukee Bucks are not playing good basketball right now, Doc Rivers. I've said this from the beginning. Not a good match there. But whatever. I'm sure maybe they don't care that much. They've lost three out of four. And last night they lost at Washington. The Milwaukee Bucks last night lost at Washington. Antetokounmpo had 35 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists. See, like, Doc Rivers don't understand. Dude, you're not going to win if Antetokounmpo is, like, your lead scorer and lead assist guy. You don't want him to be that active. He's not that good of an offensive player. Like, he can dunk. Okay, great. Like, yeah, all right, you are one of the best offensive players of all time because of your physical prowess, your ability to dunk. But in the playoffs, when dudes get in front of him, they don't want to take his hits during the regular season. Like, why would they? What's the point, dude? But in the playoffs, you want to win, so your big guys are willing to stand in front of Giannis and take charges. Well, once that is established, Giannis isn't that good. He can't shoot, dude. He can't shoot threes. He can barely shoot free throws. He's just, you know, but you're not going to beat anybody. You're not going to beat the Celtics team. We're going to get in front of you. Al Horford is going to get in front of you. He's going to stay in front of you, and he's big and strong. And this Tillman guy that we got from Memphis, same thing, dude. Don't try to bully ball these guys. Don't try to bully ball Tillman. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to like what happens. That guy, you don't want to be messing with. And you have Luke Kornet. I mean, I'm not saying he's great, but he's a big guy to throw at Lopez. I mean, whatever. I don't think Lopez is good either. I think them two will cancel each other out almost, and I don't even think Luke Kornet should be playing. But I'm just saying, for matchups and stuff. All right, Damian Lillard, go get him, dude. Every night you're going to be facing not just Derek White, not just Derek White and Drew Holiday, but Derek White, Drew Holiday, and Jaylen Brown. And we might even sprinkle some Pritchard in every now and then just to make you work all the way up the court, because Pritchard loves to play some full court defense. So Milwaukee, I just don't think they could ever beat the Celtics in a 7-game series. I'm sorry. In the East, I just don't know who would do it. I mean, Indiana, I will say they play awesome against the Celtics. But I just think if the Celts, like we beat them by 40 one time this year. If the Celts get mad and lose a game or two to Indiana, I just think that next game, the Celtics have too much talent and size. Indiana don't have the size to compete with us. Now, Miami, with Bam Adebayo, because of the advantage he can have on the glass, the Celtics are not a strong rebounding team. That's the one weakness of this team, I will tell you. The Boston Celtics, the rebounders, they don't know how to box out the right way. They don't know how to box out the way the Diarra kid does from NC State, who I've done a ton of thinking of, and I'm definitely going to have a show tomorrow that talks a lot about Diarra from NC State, and I think that they can beat Purdue. And I feel like I'm very much in the minority on this. Purdue is getting built up like to be, they're going to UConn. It's going to be Edie against Klingham. But I don't think so, dude. I've been on NC State for a while here, and I just, this big guy, DJ Burns for NC State, who we all love, he's like 6'7", 275. Edie's like 7'4", 320 is my guess. But Burns might be heavier than that 275. Those two dudes are going to battle for position. It's going to take energy out of Burns. That's all I do know. On the offensive end, he's not going to be the guy we can go to. I mean, I guess we can have him distribute fine, but I don't expect him to have a 25. So let's talk about the Red Sox. Talking about everything else today on the Sports Machine with Slim. May as well go with the Red Sox here. If you want to call, do it. 603-224-1450. You're listening on Radio Dial 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, and htalkradio.com. College basketball, NC State. I mean, the Pistol is called up a couple times over the last couple of weeks here and talked about NC State. He's having a blast watching them. I'm having a blast, and it kind of blows my mind. Because as I watch the team, I'm like, they have all the pieces. And they have a cool storyline in addition to that. This guy, big guy, Mo Diarra here, who as following or going through Ramadan, where you don't eat or drink anything when the sun is up. And he's played, I think, like, this has been going on since the Big East tournament when they won the 5 in a row, which is the only way they got in this tournament to begin with. And now they've won the 4 in a row, but I think, like, almost all these games, the dude hasn't been able to eat all day. And even going into some of the games, he hasn't been able to eat, and then they give him like some water and some sort of a food paste. There's a few articles I read online about it. It's got to be, you know, just have the right type of energy stuff in it. But they said that he doesn't, and he shouldn't eat too much at one time. Like if the game's going on, he doesn't eat a ton of stuff because it'll make him cramp up or some other reasons too. So they just give him this paste and a little bit of water, not even too much. Real, real interesting. What a sacrifice and a commitment this dude's making for just for his life. And I guess I read something in one of the articles was like, you can, I guess, make an exception during Ramadan. And I don't know if this is some like press person writer who's like making up their own things and interpretations like people tend to do with various religions. But as I guess if you're like 50 miles away from your home, you're able to eat or drink something during the day. Because I don't know if you're on a fast or if you're on a mission somewhere or something like this. But that was one article, random. I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but pretty cool with this dude. He's Muslim. I don't know a ton about the Muslim religion, honestly, but you know, the fact that he's got this commitment to say, I'm not going to drink or eat all day, and then I'm going to go in and play these basketball games against the best college kids in the world and come out looking like, he looks faster, quicker, more energy to go get every single ball than anybody else. Plus, he has great form, knowing how to rebound, and long arms. There's a spot for this guy in the NBA. I'll tell you right now there is. Right now. And he can knock down a three every now and then, which he's going to need to do here against Purdue. No doubt about it, because I see Zach Edey in the middle. You have to just single cover him with the big guy DJ Burns. You have to say, we're not going to trap off. If Edey's going to score all these twos, Purdue's how many points are they going to score? If just Edey scores all game long, how many points are they going to score? When you start trapping down and leaving their three-point shooters open, that's when things can get out of control quick. So you don't do it. You say to Burns, you need to get to your spot before he gets down there, establish position. You're going to have to bang with them a bunch, dude. But no fouls. No fouling. When he goes up to shoot, don't try to block it. Just put your hands up, contest, straight up and down. Don't foul, because we need you on the offensive end. Because what Burns can do on the offensive end is really, really move Edey around. You can force that guy to have to play all over the place, and you can take advantage of him. He's not fast, dude. And this is what nobody's talking about. Like, listen, last year you had this Farley Dickinson team trapping all over the court. That's how they beat Purdue all game long. They were trapping in full court press. And well, if you look at the teams that have been playing Purdue so far, Grambling did it a little bit in the first game. Well, Grambling was close in the first half. I think they might have even had the lead at halftime in that first round. These other teams that they've been playing, I ain't been seeing them do this to Purdue. They haven't had the skill set. Well, I don't know that NC State is going to have it and do it either, honestly. I do think DJ Horn plays some defense, but you're going to need him on the offensive end. You're just going to need him to penetrate. He's the leading scorer on the team. For people that don't know, you watch NC State play, you think Burns is the guy that's the leading scorer. No, it's DJ Horn. He's been averaging 16 a game. I love that dude. He can shoot from outside. They can all get hot. So let's go there. Now, Alabama and UConn, I talked with a couple people yesterday. I mean, it just seems like everybody's trying to show us UConn's going to win. I mean, everybody's saying it now. I think they're like, you got to put down 180 to make 100 on them to win the whole tournament now. Like, it's a prohibitive favorite. Everybody loves UConn. NC State's still something like 30-1. I'm like, dude, they can beat Purdue is all I know. All I'm telling you, Purdue's path here is not strong, and I'm going to talk about it tomorrow with paths for each of these teams. Look at the teams they've beaten. Who's had the hardest path? NC State. NC State has had the hardest path so far. And, I mean, who's the best team to be out? Probably Duke, no? The way they were playing in that first half, they looked awesome, dude. Guess what? Second half, they looked terrible. Smashed. Tennessee is good, but only Dalton Kennett can create his own shot. Like, who's good? Ziegler can kind of create his own shot, even though he's small, but he's just not a good shooter. Tennessee was a one-man team, and then you had their big guy, who's a good defensive player, but, I mean, I don't know. That's a tough matchup when he's going against Edey and getting in foul trouble. Like, that's like that tall, skinny guy for Tennessee. You don't want to be guarding Edey. That's not a good matchup. That's why Edey goes for 40. Well, now Edey's going against the DJ Burns guy, dude. And then you got the Middlebrooks. He's only like 240, 250, 6'10". But he looks like he works out. He just looks like a strong dude. So, he's going to be small against Edey. But get in the legs and box him out like for battle for position. So, wear Edey down. Chop the big man down. This is going to be so much fun, this game here. NC State. I can tell we're in for a doozy against Purdue. And if NC State beats Purdue and goes to the final against UConn, how awesome is it going to be that everybody's going to be talking about, like, the NC State team from 83 that beat Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, right? Those were the two on Houston. Going to be awesome. Boston Red Sox, 5-4, they win last night in 11 innings. Did you know this? I'm so glad I didn't stay up because it was 4-3 Oakland in, like, the fifth inning. I watched this guy Bello throw a little bit. And I haven't been watching much baseball at all in the last couple of years. None, really. And the Red Sox, a lot of these guys I've never seen before, Bello including. He's one of them. He's got some good stuff, I'll tell you right now. I could see right away he's throwing 95. His movement to the outside against left-handed hitters and to the inside or right hand is like this ball on this movement on his ball that's natural. He's a player. I'm actually starting to think the Red Sox might be a decent team this year. You know why? Because the power of motivation amongst humans right now is really, really powerful. When you have people uniting and directing towards a common cause and goal, there's just, I think, a lot of energy behind it nowadays to make stuff happen. And this Red Sox team has a bunch of younger players who everybody's saying, "You guys stink. I'm not watching the team." I've been saying it. I really have no interest in watching the Red Sox. And for, like I said, I'm patting myself on the back because it was 4-3, and then that was in like the fifth inning. Well, it went to extra innings, tied 4-4. The Red Sox must have come back, tied up 4-4, and then they win 5-4 in 11 innings. I don't need to be staying up for that. I don't need to be staying up till 1 in the morning, 1:30 in overtime in extra innings. Like, oh, I have to be prepared to talk about this on the radio. No way, dude. I'd rather listen to EEI as I did and then listen to that interview, Greg Hill, this morning, talking to Craig Breslow, talking about Alex Cora's contract. Another reason why the Red Sox easily could be good this year. Cora is only under contract until the end of this season, is my understanding. And they asked Breslow about it, and he said, listen, this doesn't have to be a big deal. Both parties can keep this between them and just go, listen, if I'm the Red Sox, I don't want to pay Cora a monster contract coming into this year. Why? Because, dude, we got younger players. We need to see how you're going to interact with them. We haven't been good the last 2 years. We've been in last place. Now, we know we haven't given you the resources. Cora, do you want to be here? Yes, I do. I like where things are headed. Okay, cool, dude. So just go through this season and win. Battle. Show that this is a team that the fans are going to want to turn out for. Make sure you're still having fun here. If you're not, you can choose to walk away. But if everything's going the way we think it should be, we're going to give you your money. You deserve it. We're just saying, let's take the year, go and get it. That's a conversation that could easily be had. And both sides are like, okay, cool. Let's go and do it. And I think the players like Alex Cora, and I know last night, Craig Breslow this morning on that call was saying that last night Alex Cora did some great managing, moving stuff around, and that was just ingenious almost is what he used the words. I didn't watch it, obviously, but did you know Andrew Bailey is the Red Sox pitching coach? Andrew Bailey used to be like a reliever for the Oakland A's, right? And then he came here for a season or two, didn't he? And now he's the pitching coach, and Breslow said they give a lot of credit to Bailey because he's been working with the starters on throwing more off-speed pitches, or like their secondary option, instead of throwing the fastballs as much. And it sounds like it's really working. And it was due to Andrew Bailey's suggestions and decision-making. Pretty cool. Big East team, just so people know, Seton Hall wins in the semifinals of the NIT last night. The Big East, obviously, best conference in America. How did they only get 3 teams in and the Mountain West got 6? I would ask you that. I will talk about that tomorrow on the Sports Machine with Slim here on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com.